have your Bibles this morning, turn with me in the book of Isaiah. And again, the great controversy is, do I seek God or does God seek me? You see, we live in a generation and we live in a world that everyone is trying to find something. We live in a world now of spirituality where everyone is kind of, okay, I'll acknowledge God, I will seek after God, and I'm here to tell you this morning that you cannot seek God. There's a lot of scripture, and most of it's a lot of Old Testament scripture that says God's commandment is to seek the Lord while he can be found. Seek the Lord, seek his guidance, seek his goodness, seek his favor, seek, seek, seek. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you can't seek God. That's an impossibility with mankind, as God showed that it was true by writing the Old Testament and let us know that as he gave the commandments to seek him, no one could. No one could seek his favor. Listen in verse 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Again, it was Isaiah the prophet saying that God was still available. God was still making himself known to you. Seek him while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, this was a direct command that's saying that God is right there, but you are to call and you are to seek him. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Another commandment that we are to be different. We're to be like God. We're to be holy. We're to be pure. We're to be without sin, without wickedness, with all those things that the nature of man is, that desire should not be there, but you will be seeking God himself. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Again, saying that if we seek him, and we come back to him, and we repent of our ways, then by George, there he is. He's waiting there for us to repent. You see, can we repent? Is that even a possibility as a, as just in this human nature, can you repent? Is that even a possibility in your life to repent? You see, John the Baptist came and preached repentance. The disciples were to preach repentance. Jesus preached repentance, that we could not stay the same way that we were born. There had to be something that happens in our lives that makes us different and worthy before Almighty God. For he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, God looks at things completely different than you and I look at things. We think God cares about our feelings. And God does not care about our feelings. When you read the scriptures, you'll find out that God could care less about your feelings. He cares about your soul. He cares about where you're going to spend eternity, because his wrath is coming to humanity. He has condemned mankind for their iniquity, for their sinfulness, and there's a judgment that has already taken place in God's mind. The reality of that judgment hasn't happened yet till Christ comes back in the second coming, and he will come, and he will not be a savior. He will be a judge, and he will judge us according to our deeds. And all of our deeds are wicked in the flesh. See, he looks at things differently. I've been seeing signs all around Lexington. Love, love, love everyone, love everyone, love everyone. Let me tell you how God loves you. It might be a heart attack. It might be cancer. It might be financial disaster. You see, God doesn't look at love the same way that you look at love. Love is not allowing your kids to get away with murder and whatever they want to do. That is not love. God disciplines those that he loves. See, we think of love as, oh, it doesn't matter what you are, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what you is, you know, love, we're just going to love one another, just going to love. That's not love. That's not love. I disciplined my kids because I loved them, because I knew what this world's going to do. It's going to eat them up. I know what sin does, because God showed me in His Word what sin does in our lives. And it eats us up. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. And we're seeing that in our world today, where no discipline at all, not in the schools, not in our judicial system. Oh, how do you feel? Read an article the other day, this psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever you want to call them, have never raised a kid, have now got programs out where you're supposed to take these books and find out how your children feel. How you feeling today? Have we made you feel good today? Express yourself at work. Okay? We got this thing that we're supposed to do. I don't do it because it's none of their business. God will tell me how I feel. God will tell me what I need to believe. God will tell me what I need to do. I don't need some stupid psychologist telling me what I think. And that's what our world is now. We're raising these kids in this next generation. We're going to tell them what they think. Let them use the God-given mind that they've been given to think in godly ways through God's Word. But we got this thing, and we're supposed to, it's a mood thing, and we're supposed to answer these questions every day, and so they can check my mood. Tell me how I feel. Well, I start my day off on my knees with God's Word. He tells me how I feel. He tells me what's right. See, we keep listening to all this human wisdom, and God says, no, my ways are not your ways. See, we need to start looking at things from God's perspective and quit looking at it from man's perspective. Love is not giving your kids everything. Love is disciplining them. Love is not being their friend. Love is being their parent. Love is being the authority over them. Love is spanking their butts until it's red, if it needs to be spanked. Got that? So that they fear authority. You know what the Word of God says? If they can't fear the authority that they see, they'll never fear God's authority. And if you never fear God's authority, you'll never become a child of God. Because wisdom begins with the fear of God. Knowledge begins with the fear of God. And if we have the responsibility to teach these things to our kids, and we have failed miserably. Even in the church, we have failed miserably. We're going to rationalize with humankind. Have you not read the Scriptures? You can't rationalize with wickedness and evil desire. That's why God had to send His Son. That's why He had to punish. Because of His holiness is greater than His love. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, God causes growth. I don't care what you do. The biblical principle here is that God's purpose exists for God alone. You were created to worship God. You were created to serve Him, not mankind. But through serving Him, as we serve Him, is to live a life regarding His commandments, walking in His ways, so that we can become the light of this earth, so that those may come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the glorifying of worshiping of God the Father. As furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God accomplishes His purposes in spite of us. God does not need us. God has never needed us. Matter of fact, it says in the scriptures as Jesus was walking, if they didn't sing out and worship and praise him, his name at that particular point, that the rocks would be able to cry out. Inanimate objects would begin to sing praises to Almighty God. And he's given you ability to voice that in worship and song. And if song worship is not as important as anything else, then why are we here? I don't understand. I'm mind-boggled in the fact that we call ourselves children of God, but yet we're not here and ready to sing and praise worship. We come in lackadaisically. We come in haphazardly because we don't believe God's word. Somehow, a deception has creeped in on us in the church today that God does not mean what he says. Obviously, we have not read scripture. Obviously, we have not seen the how God deals with disobedience. See, it's not all about homosexuality. It's not all about abortion. It's about how you come in here. It's about how you prepare to praise Almighty God. Because he says, with two or more gathered in my name, I'll be here. And yet, we come in lackadaisically in the churches today. We just gather together for fellowship. Oh, it's all God's love. He loves us so much. I think we got to redefine God's love. God doesn't love you so much that he's no longer holy. We got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. You know, you can't just do half of it. God expects us to be all in. And that's what he's saying, you know, my word is not going to come back void. It's not his fault if you don't get it. It's your fault. It's your fault. So I want to look at this seeking thing a little bit. Look at John 6, 44. I told you, you can't seek God. You can't get this in the human flesh. You can't study this enough to figure it out. There's no human effort that you can do that removes the scales from your eyes so that you can see. Remove the deafness from your ears so that you can hear and understand. There's nothing you can do. Listen to this. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last days. Do we not understand that? Our fear and our prayer should be, oh God, I am nothing but dust. Who am I that the Lord God Almighty and Holy would even consider me? But thy great love, because you don't want me to suffer your wrath. You've left your word. Come seek me and find me. See, Jesus said, I come to seek and save those which are lost. You can't seek after God. And we've allowed people to believe that they can. Instead of beating your breasts. That's what that guy did. He wouldn't even look up. Oh, wretched man that I am. I am not worthy to even look up to you, oh Father God. Why, David cried out, I'm wicked. My heart's wicked. Cleanse me with hyssop. The agony of mankind when they realize that they can't seek God. But religion has made it a possibility for us to seek God. See, there's a different God out there. There's a different Jesus out there than what's preached and taught in the scriptures, the holy scriptures. And by the way, these are holy scriptures, and they are without error because God wrote them. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The seeking begins when the Holy Spirit begins to work upon your life and begins to whisper in your ears and say, there's a problem. See, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility, and it's his job that God gave him to convict the world of their sin. And he uses scripture to do that, not your ideas. Not what you think someone should do or not do. Not how you think somebody should live or not live. But Paul, by almighty word of God, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the heart. Jesus seeks and saves those that are lost. We pray, oh God, please draw me. Please draw me. Help me to fear thee. And when you begin to read scripture, you begin to what? Where's hearing come from? Where's faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So unless you're in the word of God, none of this can happen for you. So when God works upon your life through the Holy Spirit, and there's something at unrest, that's how you'll feel. There'll be an unrest in your soul. There'll be an unrest in your life. See, you go here to find out what you're supposed to believe, not what you convincing yourself that you do believe. It's a direct commandment. I wrote it, you believe it. I wrote it, you obey it. I don't care how you feel. I don't care your circumstances. You know, God doesn't even take our circumstances into consideration. Oh, but that's not the God I want. I want a more compassionate God. I want one that, oh, I worked hard, and oh, I had a down on my luck, even though I've made all the bad decisions to put me there. See, we want that kind of a God, but that God doesn't exist. God loves you so much, he don't want you to die and go to hell. He loves you so much that he's willing to allow you to suffer great agony so that you can come to the point of your life that I'm talking about here. But you don't have to. See, as he's left a void in our life, and this is why we're trying to fill it with religion, because when we died spiritually, when the nature of man died spiritually in the garden, and they sinned, and God, a holy, holy God, could not associate with sin. It says in 1 John, there's no darkness in him. He can't associate with darkness. It's impossible. No one can come to me, talking about Jesus Christ, unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up on the last day. So if you haven't been drawn by God, if you've been drawn by man, you've been drawn by some Bible study, you've been drawn by some concert you went, some religious concert you went to, or some religious convention you went to, if you've been drawn by man, you're not a child of God. You cannot come to Jesus. You cannot know anything about Jesus unless God grants it. Now we have a fear of God. See, now we have the fear of God because there's no fear of God. Even in the church, there's no fear of God. Because we've taught that he's holy and loving. And he's more loving than he is holy. He's more compassionate than he is holy. Try that. Moses did. When he struck the rock and didn't present God as holy, God said, you're not going in the promised land. Don't you ever not present me as holy. Look at Romans 3, 9 through 19. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. See, it doesn't matter who you are. See, there are two categories of people during this biblical time. You're either a Jew, which is God's chosen people, not God's saved people, God's chosen people as an instrument to accomplish his work to save the whole world. Or you're a Greek. Those are the two classes of people. You know how many classes of people we have today? Man, we have divided everything that you can imagine. We don't have an Americans anymore. We got the Hispanic Americans, and we got the Afro-Americans, and we've got, we're not American anymore. Huh? We like to divide things. That's our nature, to divide things. We know what God said about division? As soon as you divide it, you've lost. Any household, any kingdom divided will fall. And so now, as we have allowed mankind to divide us, and even in the churches we're divided. You got the Methodists over there fighting against the Baptists, going to Haiti to see who can win more Baptists. I don't want you to be Baptist. You got that? I don't want you to be Baptist. I want you to be a child of God. Now, if you want to go to a Baptist church, that's your business. I don't want you to be Methodist. I don't want you to be Catholic. God don't want any of us to be any denomination. He wants us to be his child, a saint. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. That's pretty plain in my mind. There is none. You know what none is? It's zero. And if you divide 100 times zero, what do you get? Zero. I mean, it's really, God wrote this so, because we're dumb like sheep, okay? And he wanted to be very blunt in some instances in his word. So he wrote it so that we could understand it as dumb as we are. I know you don't like being called dumb, but sheep are dumb. They're about the dumbest animal on the planet. They'll sit there and eat themselves until they drop dead. They'll get bloated and drop dead. You know that? They don't even know when to stop. You get one sheep that goes over the cliff, guess what? All of them go. Have you not seen this? Go look at your lines in the stores. And people will stand behind the longest lines. They had a... One time they went to an amusement park and they did a little test on this. And they just, somebody started a line behind going into nowhere and people began to follow in line. That's how dumb we are. God knew we're dumb. We didn't know we're dumb. See, and that's why we're, none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. I don't care what your PhD is. I don't care if you're a theologian. It said none. None who understands. There is none who seeks for God. None. Zilch. No one seeks for God. Now what we seek for is someone to get us out of the mess we're in because we've cruddied our life up with sin and we're reaping the consequences of sin. We live in a world where God has forgiven sin, but the consequences of sin still remain. I was at the Apple store on Saturday and this gentleman walked up and he started talking to me and we had to stand in line to get in there and started a conversation. How you doing today? He said, I'm fine. How you doing? He said, man, I'm having a bad time. I've never been unhealthy in my life. And he said, I now can't walk. My feet are bad. My ankles are bad. I have back surgery. I've done this. I got to go to the doctor after this. And he just kept on and on and on. And he said, and he said something about God. He said something. I said, you know, he said he felt guilty for a long time in his life. And I said, yeah. And I said, like God sent his son so that we wouldn't have to be feeling guilty. I said, he knows that we're guilty. It's us that realizing that we're guilty is the key. And obviously you've done that. He goes, yeah. He says, you know, as one time I went and he said, you know, I heard God speak to me. It was a little whisper in my ear. He said, he said, I guess God has put me in a situation so I can understand and know that he is God. What an amazing thing that this gentleman recognized about his life. But what's happening to him is that the outer man is decaying and the inner man is being renewed. Isn't that amazing? That you can go through the adversaries and realize who God is. See, if he hadn't probably gone through these things, he would have known and appreciated who God was. He goes on to say that all have turned aside, together they have become useless. See, if we don't walk in the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are not blooming within us, we're useless. You know what God says he does to useless fruit and useless vines? Do you understand what the Bible says about being useless before God? He cuts you off and prunes you. See, there's no fear of God of that. We're not concerned about that because life just happens, right? We've convinced ourselves that life just happens, and I'm here to tell you that God is involved in our lives. The scriptures tell us what God expects from his children, what he expects from mankind. There's none who does good. See, we have to redefine good, don't we? See, the world says you go out and do anything humanitarian, it's good. God says if the heart's not right, it's not good. And the man's heart is not good, so anything we do is not good in God's sight. You understand that? All that good stuff that you think you're doing, if the heart's not good, then your efforts are not good. See, remember, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There's none who does good. There's not even one. He even goes, not even one. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and with their tongues they keep deceiving. Wow, do we have a lot of preachers deceiving folks this morning? Joel Osteen's amongst the biggest one of them. And his church is full. Because that's what people want. They want to be deceived. They want what sounds good. See, I'm supposed to tell you this morning that God's going to bless you. That God wants you to be rich and wealthy. That God wants you to have an abundance. That God is going to take care of every one of your needs. Well, that's a lie. All of that is a downright lie. God sent his son so that you would not experience his wrath. God sent his son so that you could worship him. You must worship in spirit and in truth. You're born spiritually dead. So unless you're born again and you become spirit, you're wasting your time. Their throat is an open grave. They keep deceiving with their tongues. The poison of apps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I love it. I love it. Had a conversation with a gentleman this week. Amazing when you listen to what's going on up there, how God brings things your way. And this gentleman is having trouble with his eighth grade son. I mean, just won't pick up anything, just totally disobedient, blatant. He said, I mean, can't even believe it. I take him to LCA, and he comes back and is cussing. He said, he's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. I'm taking him to church. I've got him at a school, LCA, Lexington Christian Academy. Wow, there's more sin in Lexington Christian Academy than there is in the real world. Do you see the lie? Because I take him to church, because I put him in a school, he's not going to be okay because his heart is wicked. Unless his heart is changed, unless God is born again, the kid's going to suffer. And the kid's got trust, got all kinds of money. He ain't never going to have to work. How hard is it for a rich man to go to heaven? It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. This kid is not going to be all right. I tried to share with him. It just kind of went over his head, didn't it, Terry? It just kind of went over his head. It's not because you bring your kids to church, you think they're going to be okay. They're not going to be okay because you bring them to church. Unless they become the church, they're not okay. We better listen to God. Mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. These people that call themselves children of God, and you speak a little time with them, and all of a sudden all these curse words come out. That is not acceptable for a child of God to speak cursing. God doesn't forgive it when it's a habit. God doesn't forgive it when it's your way of life. I'm not saying you don't ever slip up, but by George, there ought to be some type of Holy Spirit correcting you right away, saying, oh, we don't talk that way. You apologize. Huh? Where's the Holy Spirit in your life? Correcting you. Have you become such deaf of the ear that you can't even hear him speak to you because you've already made up your mind that you're okay? You're not okay unless God says you're okay. We're not okay because I want to be okay. My kids aren't okay because I want them to be okay. It's got to be by the word of God, and you got to follow it exactly the way he said you got to follow it. Man, we've been deceived, haven't we? We live in a world today that is so deceived, so far from God's word, and yet we wonder where God's at. God's in all of this. Everything that's happening, God has predicted in his scripture. The famines, the viruses, the pestilences, the cancers, the floods. God's in it all. Because he said, you turned your back on me. And I told you what's going to happen when you turn your back on me. And yet we still try to bring up a God that doesn't exist. Instead of confessing our sins, instead of repenting of our sins, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Guess what? You're born under the law. This is not a choice you get to make. It's a choice that was given to you by your parents. You're born under the law so that every mouth may be closed up. See, you can't argue with God. You can't argue with his word. Theologians like to argue. People that aren't secure in God like to argue. They like to argue the word of God so they can hear themselves speak, so they can convince themselves that they're really, truly okay with God. That's why we argue scripture. That's why we argue, you know. And I was reading something today too, and are you Calvinist? Are you this? Are you that? And I was like, what in the world is a Calvinist? I don't even have a clue what a Calvinist is. I don't care what a Calvinist is. I can't find Calvinists in here. I've read this book, I've read this Holy Scripture, I don't know how many times, and I haven't found the word Calvinist yet. But that's what we're banking our future on. That's what we're banking our eternity on, is what some man says that God said. And I don't need some man to tell me what God said. When God said, he'll tell me what he says. But I got to sit down with him with the right heart, with the right mind, and the right attitude, understanding that I'm nothing before him. Closes up all mouths, and all the world may become accountable to God. All the world is accountable to God, whether they acknowledge it or not. Because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And he proved that we could not seek him. We proved that we could not repent. It's not in the effort or the ability or the possibility of humanity to do any of those things. impossible. See, you need to challenge everything that you've been taught by man. If not, you could find yourself standing before Almighty God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You can't tell him, I've done my best. Because your best will never be good enough for God. Well, I don't like that God. Well, go down the street, because there's another church down there that'll preach a God that you won't. That's why we're empty, you see. No one seeks truth. They seek confirmation of what they believe. What are you seeking today? Have you asked God to find you? Have you asked God to reach down and take you out of the pits of hell? David did. That was his example of his prayer. See, the sinner's prayer doesn't exist. It's not in the scriptures. Oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ. I accept you as my Savior. Thank you. Welcome to the kingdom of God. It does not happen like that. It will never happen like that. It's never happened like that. And that's why we're in the mess we're in, because we have convinced people that they're, because they said a prayer, and because they think that they're okay with God, that they're okay with God, and they're not, because God's words does not validate that at all. I can't give you what I know. But I can tell you where to get what I know. And if you don't take this seriously, Satan's going to eat you up. See, those that aren't born again, he's already got them. Those that are born again, he's going to eat you up. Can you even tell me what the armor of God is? See, don't sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter if I just put on the helmet of salvation or the breastplate of righteousness or gird my loins with the truth, shod my feet with the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword. Do you even know what they are? Did you even know what they were? And yet, God says you need to put those on every day to extinguish the flaming arrows that are coming at you. You want to know why life is hard? Because it's supposed to be hard. Sin made it hard. Told Adam, you're going to work by the sweat. I spent 6 hours on a weed eater yesterday. For what? For vanity. Because it's all going to grow back up again. Because God said, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Hey, that's one thing. That's another sermon on work. Our ethic of work today and what we've taught our young kids. Oh, you don't need to work. I mean, there are kids in here that don't have blisters on their hands ever. If you're a man and you've never had blisters on your hands, may God forgive you. Don't even know what work is. Video games is not work. That's a whole nother sermon.